ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं समगाः। ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः। अथ कर्मयोगो नाम तृतीयोऽध्यायः। अर्जुन उवाच जायसी चेत्कर्मणस्ते मता बुद्धिर्जनार्दन तत्किं कर्मणि घोरे मां नियोजयसि केशव। व्यामिश्रेणेव वाक्येन बुद्धिं मोहयसीव मे तदेकं वद निश्चित्य येन श्रेयोऽहमाप्नुयाम्। श्रीभगवानुवाच लोकेऽस्मिन् द्विविधा निष्ठा पुरा प्रोक्ता मया नघ ज्ञानयोगेन साङ्ख्यानाम् कर्मयोगेन योगिनाम्। न कर्मणामनारम्भान्नैष्कर्म्यम् पुरुषोऽश्नुते न च सन्न्यसनादेव सिद्धिम् समधिगच्छति। So we are seeing this fourth verse. We understood the literal meaning very well, and we are seeing the bhashyam of this fourth verse. Karmanam anarambhat purushaha naishkarmyam na ashnute. Non-commencement of actions implying non-performance of actions does not make a person an actionless person, does not help in attaining moksha. As a result of non-commencement of actions, as a result of non-beginning of actions or non-performance of actions, a person does not attain naishkarmyam. A person does not attain actionlessness. But does not attain moksha. I told you already, actionlessness happens to be sarupam of the atma. A person does not attain actionlessness means a person does not attain the knowledge of atma. Person does not attain a freedom, which is the sarupma of oneself. So performance of actions also will not help a person attain anything, attain moksha. But performance of actions, the proper attitude in conformity with dharma, in due course of time, as karma yoga, can contribute for mental preparedness. Thereby, it can be an indirect means of attainment of jnanam, which itself is moksha. And here we are reading this portion. Karmana manarambhat naishkarmyam na ashnute iti vachanat tadviparyayat tesham arambhat naishkarmyam ashnute iti gamyate. So, because it is said, non-performance, as a result of non-performance of actions, a person does not attain moksha, does not attain actionlessness. Means a person cannot give up one's wrong notion one has about oneself as the doer. See, entertaining the notion, I am the doer, I am the performer, I am the enjoyer, is actually ahankara. And this wrong notion one has about oneself in terms of oneself being a doer, I am the doer, that notion is purely because of one's wrong identity with anatma, body, minds and corpus. So as long as a person remains ignorant of oneself, helplessly a person sees the self wrongly, he mistakes the body, minds, complex for the self, thereby being physically active, being mentally active, being sensorily active, the person mistakes oneself to be the doer. So having this wrong notion that one's oneself is the doer, that I am the doer, is the doership. Entertaining the doership is what? Entertaining the wrong notion about the self, which is ahankara. So simply non-perform, as a result of non-performance of actions, one cannot give up one's ahankara. One cannot resolve one's wrong notion about the self, that one's own self is the doer. So resolution of doership is actually actionlessness. Having the ahankara resolved for good is actionlessness. So simply giving up physical activities is not a non-permanence of actions, is not naishkarmyam here, actionlessness. Actionlessness is a rupa of the atma, that being free from wrong notions about the self is actually actionlessness, which is moksha. Being free from wrong notions about oneself means being free from the wrong notion that one's own self is a doer and enjoyer, etc. That is possible only when a person knows one's own self being atma. Only in the wake of the jnanam, in the wake of the knowledge of one's own self being atma, one can see oneself being free from wrong notions, oneself being free from doership and enjoyership. First, one should see, one should shift his identity from anatma to atma. Only in the wake of the correct knowledge of the self, one can free oneself from wrong notions. And see, freeing oneself from wrong notions one has about oneself is being free from ahankara. And being free from ahankara is what? Naishkarmyam, actionlessness. And which is freedom, which is moksha. So for moksha, what one needs is for naishkarmyam, for actionlessness. To discover actionlessness being one's own sarup. To free oneself from all wrong notions about the self. To be free from ahankara. What one needs is jnanam, knowledge. Is not non-performance of actions. Therefore it is said, instead, tesham arambhat naishkarma ashnute iti gamyate. So because of that statement, that non-performance of actions does not make a person attain moksha. From that statement, what is understood is, iti gamyate, what is understood is, that performance of actions, as a result of performance of actions, naishkarmyam ashnute, a person attains moksha in terms of actionlessness. A person attains actionlessness in terms of moksha. How? Arambhat, karmanam arambhat, tesham arambhat, means karmanam arambhat. Oh, as a result of performance of actions, a person attains moksha. How? As a result of performance of actions, especially actions here means one's duties, a person lives a life of karma yoga. I mean, living, performing one's actions means Paramahansa one's duties. Performing one's duties means living a life of karma yoga. Living a life of karma yoga here means what? Living a life of panchamahayajnas, as a result of which, in due course of time, a person becomes mentally refined. We understood the reason last class very beautifully. How does a person become refined? Because a person becomes refined, he has mental purification, mental steadiness, and intellectual sharpness. When a person does one's duties properly in conformity with dharma, a person can earn Bhagavan's grace. When a person earns Bhagavan's grace, the pratibandhas, the obstacles, the rise of knowledge, obstacles become neutralized. So the prarabdha papa karma becomes neutralized. The prarabdha papa karma becomes neutralized, the obstacles become resolved, thereby the knowledge can rise. This is how living a life of karma yoga, living a life of panchamahayajnas, as a result of performing one's duties, in due course of time, a person becomes eligible for the attainment of jnanam, thereby a person attains jnanam, thereby a person attains moksha, naishkarmyam. This is understood. We understood all this last class itself. And the beautiful reason was given, kasmat punaha karanat karmanam anarambhat aishkaram na ashtute iti uchyate. Karma arambhasya eva naishkarmya upayatvat. So, there is no such thing called attainment of end without the means. So, karma yoga has a status of being in that means of attainment of jnanam, which itself is moksha. So, karma yoga upayattam cha naishkarma lakshanasya jnana yogasya shrutau ihacha pratipadanat. So we saw how in the shruti also it is said, the karma yoga, so performance of one's duties or performance of rituals, living of karma yoga, living of panchamaha yogas, panchamaha yajnas, definitely has a status of being in that means of attainment of moksha, because it becomes a means of attainment of preparation required for going to discipline of jnana yoga. Karma yoga upayattam cha naishkarmya lakshanasya jnana yogasya. So karma yoga has the status of being the means of preparing the mind for the discipline of jnana yoga, which itself should culminate in the attainment of moksha. And this fact has been revealed in the Bhagavad Gita. This fact has been revealed in the Upanishads, Veda Shastram, Shruti and Smriti. So, in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad quote was presented last class, we saw, tametam vedanuvachanena brahmana vidishanti yajnena. So, brahmanaha tam etam vedanuvachanena vidishanti. We will only be following the way of life enjoined by the Shastram. And the people aspiring for jnanam, want to know the truth, Brahma, by living a life of karma yoga, இத்தியாதினா கர்மயோகசிய ஞானயோக உபாயத்துவம் பிரதிபாதிதம். So again, Shaka Bhupada makes it very clear, Karma Yoga definitely has the status of being the means of being eligible to enter into the discipline of Jnana Yoga, which alone will culminate in the attainment of vision of the truth, which is Mokshaha. And he quotes verse from Ihapicha Sanyasastu Mahabaho Dukkhamaptama Yogataha. So, ayogataha, without, this is where we left, I think, without being mentally prepared, ayogataha means without being mentally prepared, without having adequate mental purification and mental stillness, without viveka vairagyam, and being given to the life of sannyasa, will result in problems. It is very difficult to take the sannyasa without being mentally prepared. So sannyasa is not something to be taken. Sannyasa is expression of maturity which one has to go through mentally as a result of the vairagyam. Sannyasa means having dispassion. Being a dispassionate minded is being a sannyasi. And dispassionate mind is the one who is a mature person. That dispassion must be born out of understanding. Understanding of what? The discriminative understanding of the permanent and the impermanent. Without such preparedness, taking the life of sannyasa is very, very difficult. It involves tremendous difficult strain. And again, another Bhagavad Gita sentence is presented. Yoginah karma kurvanti sangam tektva atma shuddhaye. Yoginah karma kurvanti sangam tektva atma shuddhaye. Kimattam yoginah karma kurvanti atma shuddhaye. Only for the mental preparation, only for the mental preparation in terms of mental purification, mental steadiness, mental purification, effortlessly one must be able to handle one's likes and dislikes, strong desires, anger, jealousy, hatred, fear, anxiety. How are you going to manage them? All these one must be relatively free from the hold of his emotions. One should be disturbed by his emotions. That's what is Atma Shuddhi. Atma Shuddhi means mental purification. So being capable of mastering one's, having mastery over one's emotions is having mental purification, mental purity. That is possible only if a person consciously lives the life of karma yoga in governed by dharma. Therefore, yoginaha sangam tektva karma kurvanti, the people who are given to the discipline of karma yoga, what do? They perform all their duties. They do not give up activities. They do not ignore activities. They do not see whether they like, they do not do because they like it. They do not stop doing because they don't like it. They simply do their duties. Karma kurvanti. They do what should be done by them. They do their prescribed duties. How? Without any attachment to the results of actions. Sangam tektva. They perform duties, expecting results, wanting results, for the results, but they are not dependent on, without being dependent on the results for their happiness and security. They perform the duties and having their focus on mental preparation, therefore they do their duties for mental purification. Why? They know mental purification is very, very important for them to have, to be distract, to have distraction-free mind, so that they'll be able to focus on the teaching, they can be contemplative, they can attain jnana. The goal is moksha in the form of knowledge. And for knowledge, they need contemplative mental disposition. And the contemplative, distraction-free, disturbance-free mental disposition is possible only if they're relatively free from the hold of these emotions. They need to be have mental purity. Therefore, having mental purification, having a focus on mental purification, the karma people who live life karma yoga do their duties without attachment. And we have one more example given by the, from the Bhagavad Gita itself. Yajno danam tapaschaiva pavanani manishinam. This also explained the previous class itself. Bhagavan is going to mention this later on. Is going to pratipada ishyati. Bhagavan is going to bring to light. Bhagavan is going to explain later on in Bhagavad Gita that yajnam da yajnaha danam tapaha. These three are purifying factors for people of conviction. Manishinam, for people who are people of conviction, that they live their lives ultimately for moksha. They live their life for jnanam, because moksha is in the form of jnanam. And for jnanam, they had to become mentally pure and steady. And for which, they have to strictly live a life of karma yoga involving yajna, danam, tapaha. And look at these are what? Pavanani. They are the purifiers. So mental preparation is very important for jnanam. The prerequisite qualification for moksha in the form of jnanam is mental purification. The pure mind is the mind where emotions are very well managed, where the attention is distraction free, the focus attention, for which to have such a mind, they need to live life karma yoga with the disciplines such as yajna, danam and tapaha. This much we have already seen in the previous class. Now here the doubt comes. I explained all this until this Pratipada Ishyati, I have already explained. Simply repeated today. Now here, a doubt is presented. The doubt is presented means they use the expression nanu. See, sometimes the word nanu means definitely, certainly. Sometimes, when the doubt is presented also, the expression nanu is used. A pura paksha comes, doubt comes, query comes, question comes, the nanu is used. So here, a sentence is presented from, quoted from Mahabharatam. Ashwamedhika Parva. Abhayam sarvabhutebhyo dattva naishkarmyam acharet. Abhayam sarvabhutebhyo dattva naishkarmyam acharet. This sentence of Mahabharata is quoted by Shankara Bhagavatpada to explain, to give reason, explain the second sentence of the fourth verse. So what does this sentence mean? Naishkarmyam acharet. நைஷ்கர்மியம் ஆச்சரேத். நைஷ்கர்மியம் ஆச்சரேத் மீன்ஸ் அ பர்சன் ஷுட் லிவ் அ லைஃப் ஆஃப் சந்நியாசா. A person should, Naishkarmi here is actionlessness. Actionlessness implies dwelling upon one's own nature being actionlessness. And dwelling upon one's own nature being actionlessness implies living, having a contemplative mental disposition, being contemplative. And being contemplative implies having highly dispassionate mind. And having a highly dispassionate mind means living a life of a sannyasi. So, naishkarmyam acharet means one should be given to the life of a sannyasa, sannyasi. One should take to a life of sannyasa, sannyasi. Means one must enter into sannyasa ashrama. Naishkarmyam acharet. So naishkarmya acharanam. Let me explain this word, very important word. Naishkarmya acharanam. Acharanam means doing, performing. Naishkarmya acharanam means what? Doing actionlessness? No. What it means is, naishkarmya acharanam means following actionlessness. Following actionlessness means entertaining, having a contemplative mental disposition. And being contemplative, naishkarmya acharanam is equal to, following actionlessness is equal to being contemplative. Being contemplative means dwelling upon one's own nature. Constantly, continuously being able to dwell upon one's own nature being actionlessness. One's own sarupa. So sarupa anusandhanam is contemplation. And being contemplative is what? Naishkarmya acharanam. And to be able to dwell upon one's own nature constantly without any distraction, one must have a distraction-free attention. To have a distraction-free attention, one must be a person of dispassion. And being a person of dispassion means being free from the hold of desires for all objects. Knowing the limitations. Therefore, naishkarmya acharanam implies being a sannyasi, going through sannyasa mentally. Sannyasam svikuryat, that is the meaning. Naishkarmyam acharet means one must enter into a life of sannyasa. How? Sarvabhutebhyaha abhayam dattva. This is very important. Sarvabhutebhyaha abhayadanam means promising fearlessness. To promising fearless, promising fearlessness to all other beings. Abhayam dattva means taking an oath, taking a vow on the day of sannyasa. Sannyasis, when they go through the ritual of sannyasa, sannyasi is supposed to call out for all the devatas. They invite all the devatas and they firmly, after having had 3 dips in Ganga, having removed their old clothes and wearing a new saffron clothes, they promise in front of the Guru, in front of all the Panchabhuta, 5 elements, all the devatas, they promise. They make a promise. We give up all our desires for enjoyment of pleasures. And we give up all actions and we will not be any harmful at all to any living being. We will not be a source of fear for any living beings. A sannyasi makes a promise on the day of sannyasa that he or she would not be a means, a cause of fear for any living being. Seeing a sannyasi, no person, no being should get frightened. Means a sannyasi should live his life. Sannyasi should live his life in such a way that he does not cause any fear, anxiety, or any fear for any living being. That's the promise. Sarva bhutebhyah abhayam dattva. So, abhayam datta means this person will not be any more a competitor in the world. A person who has that sannyas, one who has the dispassionate mind, a person who has discriminative understanding, is a mature individual who's no more interested in anything except jnanam. Such a person will not be a competitor in the world for anybody. Sannyasi is a non-competitor. Sannyasi does not have a competitor for him, nor will he be a competitor also. Therefore, he declares the day of sannyasa to all the beings that he will not be a source of fear for anybody, any being in the world. That is sannyas, that's abhayapradhanam. So abhayapradhanam is a very, very important ritual on the day of sannyasa. One of the aspects of the rituals performed for taking to life sannyasa is abhayapradhanam. Promising the world of beings that he would not be a competitor, he would not be a source of fear, he would not be a source of anxiety for any other being. So he'll be a harmless person. So abhyapradhanam itself implies what? A sannyasa. Renunciation. Therefore, a mature individual should take life of sannyasa. A mature individual is the one who has distraction-free, calm mind, pure mind. And a person who has such a distraction-free, calm mind is the person, a person of Viveka Vairagyam, for which a person must have already gone through left karma yoga, must have lived strictly a life of Panchamaha Yajnas. Once a person, the karma yoga has served its purpose, then he does not need to involve himself anymore in karma. Living a clean grihastashrama life, living a clear life karma yoga has contributed for the mental preparation means the person does not need to remain in other ashrama anymore. He can take the life of sannyasa. Therefore, it is said, the sentence of Mahabharata states, a mature individual, a person of distraction-free attention, the person who entertains contemplative disposition, now having promised abhayam for all other beings, he must take the life of sannyasa. This is the meaning of the sentence. Abhayam sarvabhutebhyah abhayam dattva naishkarmyam acharet. This then what should he do? Having become a sannyasi, he should live a life of contemplation, a contemplative life. And contemplative life means what? He must be dwelling upon his own nature, for which he must have gone through Savanamanam also. He must have already attained jnanam, which means he must be a vidvat sannyasi. A vidvat sannyasi who would have already gone through Shravanaman Mananam, attained jnanam, therefore now he has to live as a sannyasa, only a contemplative life. Suppose the person has not yet gone through Shravanaman Mananam, but still he is a person of Viveka Vairagya, means then he must also take life sannyasa in order to listen to the teaching total, to exclusion of everything else. Acha sannyasi, a person, a mature individual who is aspiring for jnanam, who has yet to attain jnanam, has taken a life of sannyasa, is a vidisha sannyasi. As a vidisha sannyasi, one must go through only shravanam and mananam to the exclusion of everything else. Vidisha sannyasi also places his mind only in the subject matter of the shastram, in terms of, in the form of listening and also or reflecting upon the teaching. Vidvat sannyasi also, of course, cannot do anything but living a life of contemplation. Because he is vidvat, he has already gone through the disciplines, shravanamananam, he has already understood the teaching. He must go live a contemplative life. So, as a vidisha sannyasi, as a vidvat sannyasi, one must promising the beings, the fearlessness, that he would not be a source of fear or anxiety for anyone, and one must take life of sannyasa. There is the teaching here. And this sentence is from Mahabharata, Ashwamedhikai, Parva of Mahabharatam. So this particular sentence is quoted by Shankara Bhagavatpada here to say that Abhayam sarabhutebhyo dattva naishkrimi acharet ityadav. In the sentences such as these, ityadav means what? In the sentences such as these, kartavya karma sanyasadapi naishkarmya praptim darshayati. So karma, kartavya karma sanyasadapi naishkarmya praptim darshayati. In all these sentences, a fact, the author shows what? Naishkarmya praptihi, attainment of moksha, attainment of actionlessness in terms of moksha. The author shows the attainment of moksha as a result of renunciation of actions. Kartavya, renunciation of actions which should be done. So, kartavya karma sanyasadapi naishkarmya praptim darshayati. So, the smriti grantaha Bhagavad Mahabharatam, Smriti Grantaha Mahabharatam, which is also shows attainment of moksha as a result of renunciation of duties. But for whom? Only for a mature individual. But he shows, quotes that, suppose the Purupakshi quotes this, he says, therefore, lokecha கர்மணாம் அனாரம்பாத் நைஷ்கர்மியம் இது பிரசித்ததரம். சோ இட் இஸ் மோர் பாப்புலர் இன் த வேர்ல்ட், இட் இஸ் மோர் மச் மோர் பாப்புலர் இன் த வேர்ல்ட். பிரசித்ததரம் லோகே, வாட் இஸ் மோர் பாப்புலர் இன் த வேர்ல்ட்? கர்மணாம் அனாரம்பாத் நைஷ்கர்மியம். So, sanya, mokshaha, actionlessness in terms of moksha is attainable as a result of non-performance of actions. Means renunciation of actions. So, if you want moksha, give up activities. Do not, need not do anything. You want moksha? Then you must be contemplative. You need jnanam. You need ascertained vision. For which you must be contemplative. For you to be contemplative, you must go through shravanam and mananam. Contemplative, you must have thorough, doubt-free knowledge. For which you must have gone through shravanam and mananam. And to have the contemplative disposition, you must have mental preparedness, eligibility. And to have that mental preparedness, mental refinement required for contemplative life of contemplation, one must have gone through life of karma yoga. This is what is the order. But what happens? Karmanam anarambhat naishkarmyam iti loke prasiddhataram. It is very well known, how much it's more popular in the world, that non-performance of actions, results in attainment of moksha. Moksha is attainable as a result of non-performance of actions. Somehow this is, which means they mistake actionlessness, physical inaction is mistaken to be actionlessness. Physical inaction is mistaken to be actionlessness. Okay. So what do they say? Ataha cha naishkarmyarthinaha kim karmarambhena iti praptam. So from this statement, what is arrived at is, naishkarmyarthinaha karmarambhena kim? For a person who is aspiring for naishkarmya moksha, naishkarmyarthi means moksharthi, mumukshu. Naishkarmyarthinaha, for a person who is aspiring for naishkarmyam, for a person who is aspiring for moksha, karma arambhena kim, what is the use of performing actions? What is the benefit? What is the use of performing actions? What the use? What's the relevance of performance of actions for a person who is aspiring for moksha? This is what is arrived at. Iti praptam. This is what is arrived at. What arrived at? What is the relevance of performance of actions? What the use of performing actions for a person who is aspiring for moksha? Because it is said, it is well known in the world, non-performance of actions is naishkarmyam. Non-performance of actions is naishkarmyam. Naishkarmyam is attainable as a result of non-performance of actions. Therefore, a naishkarmyarthi need not do any karma. Naishkarmyarthinaha kim karmarambhena kim? What is there? The performing actions for naishkarmyarthi, for a person who is aspiring for moksha. This what is... This is the understanding some people have. Ataha aha. This understanding is a wrong understanding. Physical inactivity, physical inaction, merely giving up physical activities should not be mistaken for naishkarmyam. Ataha aha. Therefore, the second line, Bhagavan said, Nacha sanyasana deva siddhim samadhi gacchati. What does it mean? Sanyasat eva, nacha sanyasanat eva. Sanyasanam, sanyasaha, masculine noun, renunciation. Sanyasanam, renunciation, renouncing, gerund. Sanyasanam, renouncing, or neuter noun, renunciation. Sanyasaha, masculine noun. Therefore, sanyasanat eva, a result of renunciation, means what? Napna api, sanyasanadeva, kevalat karma parityagamatradeva. Kevalat karma parityaga matrat eva. Kevalat sanyasana deva means by mere renunciation of actions. By mere, as a result of merely renouncing the actions, renunciation of actions. Means karma parityaga matrat eva, simply by giving up physical activities. Karma parityaga matrat eva, simply by merely giving up physical activities. Without the jnanam, jnana rahitat. So, mere renunciation of actions devoid of knowledge. Jnana rahitat kevalat sanyasanat eva. Jnana rahitat karma parityagamatrat eva. In what now? Without knowledge, merely giving up physical activities. So, as a result of merely giving up activities without jnanam, siddhim na samadhi gacchati, a person does not attain success in terms of moksha. What is success? Siddhihi. Siddhim is equal to naishkarmya lakshanam. Success in the form of actionlessness, success in the form of moksha. Real success is in attaining moksha. Real success is in discovering freedom, which is already there as one's own nature. Therefore, discovery of one's own self, rediscovery of the truth is real success. Discovery of the truth as one's own essential nature is the real success. Discovery of one's own nature being freedom is real success. Therefore, naishkarmya lakshanam siddhim, the success in the form of moksha, a person does not attain. Na samadhi gacchati, na prapnoti. And moksha, which is nothing but jnana yoga nishtha. Jnana yoga nishtha means what? Without being given to the discipline of jnana yoga, which alone will culminate in the ascertained vision of the truth, steadfastness in the vision of the truth, which is moksha, one does not attain by merely giving up the activities. Again, okay, simply I give up all activities, wear saffron robes and go for bhiksha, door to door, enjoy bhiksha, live your life, easy life, easy going life. I don't need to work hard. No social obligatory duties, no responsibilities, nobody will blame me. A sannyasi, go door to door, and get asked for bhiksha. People will give bhiksha, eat bhiksha. People will feel they get earned punyam. But if you earn papam and give bed bhiksha, no duties, nothing, don't do from any morning till evening. Easy life? No. Dangerous. We're going to see the following verses. So simply giving up all physical activities will not take a person any distance from where a person is. Renunciation of actions without being given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga, which alone will culminate in the attainment of Jnanam, will not help a person attain moksha. So mere performance of actions, as well as mere performance of actions, one does not attain success in the form of moksha. Why? So jnana yoga jnana yogena nishtham na prapnoti. See, moksha is in the form of steadfast vision of the truth, is nishtha. That nishtha is accomplishable only by going through discipline of jnana yoga. So, therefore, one must go through discipline of jnana yoga. One must have contemplative disposition. So, for which one needs to mentally prepare. For that preparedness, one must go through the life of karma yoga. This is the order. Okay. Now, Bhagavan explains all this. Now, the next question comes. Which is, if Bhashyam on the fourth verse is completed. Kasmat karanat punaha karma sanyasa matrad eva kevalat jnana rahitat siddhim naishkarma lakshanam purushaha na adhigacchati iti hetu akankshayam aha hetu akankshayam aha. Here akanksha means doubt, query. The query regarding the reason. Hetu sambandha akanksha, hetu akanksha, hetvakanksha. Hetvakanksha means what? Hetu sambandha akanksha, hetu akanksha, hetvakanksha. Doubt, query pertaining to the reason. What is the reason here? See, jnana rahitat kevalat karma sanyasa matrat eva. As a result of mere renunciation of actions without knowledge, a person does not attain success in the form of moksha. What is the reason for that? Kasmat karanat. Why? What is the reason? What is the reason because of which? Why a person does not attain success in terms of moksha as a result of mere renunciation of actions without jnanam? Iti, there is a hetu akanksha, doubt regarding the reason. What is the reason? What is the reason? why a person does not attain success in terms of moksha as a result of non-performance of actions, renunciation of actions, mere renunciation of actions without jnanam. So answer is given here in the fifth verse. See, in verse number 5 and 6, in the following two verses, Bhagavan strictly mentions the consequence, the worst consequence of renunciation without a maturity. Taking life sannyasa without preparedness. Nahi kaschit kshanam api jatu tishthatya karma krit. Nahi kaschit. Puja Swamiji has explained very beautifully all these verses. I'll be very happy if you can go back and refer to the unfoldment of these verses by Puja Swamiji. Nahi kaschit kshanam api jatu tishthatya karma krit. Karyate hyavashah karma sarvah prakriti jair gunaihi. Nahi kaschit kshanam api jatu tishthatya karma krit. Karyate hyavashah karma sarvah prakriti jair gunaihi. See, first of all, we need to understand the fact. Kaschit kshanam api na jatu tishtati, or na kaschit kshanam api jatu tishtati akarmakrit. Karmakrit means performer of action. Akarmakrit, non-performer of action. Na kaschit tishtati jatu akarmakrit. None remains ever, even for a fraction of second, even for a kshanam, even for kshanam, even for a fraction of second, none ever remains without, none remains as a non-performer of actions. None remains even for a fraction of a second without doing any action. As a non-performer of actions, none remains ever, even for a fraction of a second. Kshanamapi jatu akarmakrit nakaschit tishtati. Why? What's the reason? Everyone is doing something or the other always. Only when you're fast asleep, in sleep, when you're fast asleep, when you fall asleep, and when you're fast asleep, when you're in sleep, even then, the physical involuntary functions are happening. Even when a person is physically inactive, person is asleep also, and the person remains not knowing his own existence also, even then, the involuntary functions are happening. The physiological functions are happening. The pranas are functional. Otherwise, in the waking state, none remains without doing any action even for a second. Why? Because prakriti jaihi gunaihi, there are prakriti jaha gunaha. Prakriti jaha gunaha means the guna is born of prakriti. Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. These are the gunas of prakriti. The three gunas are three names given to the three manifest powers. When the power of inertia, the power of knowledge, the power of activity. When these three powers, power of knowledge, the knowing power, the power of action, the power of inertia, when these three powers remain unmanifested, unmanifest, undifferentiated, then it's called one power Maya. When the power becomes manifest, then the one power alone we see as three powers, as differentiated powers, the power of knowledge, power of activity, the power of inertia, manifested or given three different names as three gunaha, sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. The power of knowledge manifested is called sattva gunaha. The power of activity manifested is rajo gunaha. The power of inertia manifested is tamo gunaha. So three gunas are names attributed to the three manifested powers. Differentiated powers. When they remain, the power remains unmanifest, it remains as one unmanifested, undifferentiated powers. In manifestation, the three are differentiated. And given three different names, as sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. Therefore, they're all prakriti gunaha, prakriti jaha gunaha. Prakriti is maya, maya gunaha. Trigunatmika maya. So, trigunatmika prakriti hi, we say. So, prakriti manifested, maya manifested is, the omnipotency, omniscient manifested is, differentiated as three powers. The three manifested powers are given three different names as sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. But prakriti jaha gunaha. The prakriti jaihi gunaihi sarvaha karma karyate. Everyone is made to do, everyone is impelled to do something or the other. How he avashaha, helplessly. Helplessly, choicelessly, everyone is impelled to do some action or the other by the three gunas of prakriti. This is the literal meaning of the verse. So, nakaschit hi kshanamapi jatu tishtati akarmakrita. So, this is a fact. None ever remains, even for a fraction of a second, as a non-performer of anything, as a non-doer of anything, without doing anything. Because avashaha, helplessly, choicelessly, sarvaha karma karyate, everyone is made, compelled, forced to do something or the other by the gunas of prakriti. Gunas born of prakriti. This is the literal meaning. See, people, generally people all naturally born ignorant. Being born ignorant and being endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, it's very natural for them to have identity with the body, mind, sense complex, to have wrong notions also. And having wrong notions, they have helplessly the fundamental problems. The fundamental problem of inadequacy, insecurity, smallness, hinted on I, is naturally there on the part of all the human beings. There's no human being who is free from this common human universal fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity centered on I. This fundamental problem being there, everyone has this desire, the phenomenon called desire, is a fundamental desire. So the fundamental desire also is what? Very natural one. So ignorance is natural. Ignorance caused problems are natural. Therefore, desire, common human fundamental desire also is very, very natural. And fundamental desire for being happy always everywhere with everybody being natural. And so many desires are very natural. All these desires are very, very natural symptoms of the disease of ignorance. Therefore, mind is always involved in some form of thinking or the other. Something or the other, some desire, some sort of thoughts will be always rising. Hachan, mind with the problem of the fundamental problem. Therefore, what now? Even a person does not do anything physically, the mind must be always, only when the mind is asleep, in the apart from deep sleep state, the mind is so busy, so many thoughts will be rising. And the thoughts rise, naturally, helplessly, a person is impelled to do physically something or the other. You know, person controls to remain without doing anything, still he'll be, mentally he'll be going through. Means what? He must be very busy mentally. Lots of thoughts will be there. The person who is not physically doing things is not inactive, person of inaction. Physically, one may remain inactive, lazy, idle, but he must be mentally going through the hell. The mind must be making a lot of noises with a lot of thoughts. It's very natural. It's impossible for one to have to remain without any thought in the waking state, without entertaining any thought, having a blank mind. It is not possible for anyone to remain without having any thought, having a blank mind. Only in sleep, a blank mind. Thoughts do not rise. Because there's no fundamental problem, because there's no identity, because there is total ignorance. Whereas in the waking state, ignorance is partial, knowledge is partial, therefore wrong identity is possible, therefore fundamental problem is possible, therefore mind is so active, so many thoughts must be rising. When the thoughts rise and you have no control, the thoughts will get expressed in the form of physical activity. And even if a person consciously controls his physical activity, and there'll be much more thoughts in one's mind. The more you remain physically inactive, the more and more thoughts a person will entertain. The more a person remains physically inactive, the more thoughts a person will entertain. The person will have a much noisier mind, much more restless mind. That is the nature of Prakriti. So, just to take you to the actual class. Okay, ignorance is natural. Why mind is so restless? Why so many thoughts rise? Why so many thoughts rise? And when they rise, they impel a person to do physically, do something or the other. Because there is the common human universal fundamental problem, which is a symptom of the disease of ignorance. Therefore, ignorance being natural, the mental restlessness also is very natural. Therefore, a restless-minded person is mentally very active. He is not a person of inaction. He is not a person of actionlessness. So physically inactive person should not be mistaken for actionless person. That's one reason. Because the natural thing, prakriti jaihi gunaihi avashaha, helplessly, choicelessly, everyone is forced to do something or the other. Okay, then that is why Shastram prescribes. That is why, before I go to the Bhashyam part, that is why Shastram prescribes duties to keep a person engaged, involved, occupied. It's very, very important for a human being who is naturally restless, naturally agitated, naturally mentally disturbed. It's very important for a human being to be involved in activity, to be engaged, to be occupied. So in order to keep a person involved in activity, engaged in activity, occupied, Shastram prescribes duties. How can you keep yourself occupied? You keep yourself occupied, you keep yourself engaged, you keep yourself busy doing what is ordained, prescribed for you. Because you yourself do not know what you should do, how you should do. Therefore, Shastram prescribes you do this. It's exactly like when a child is 2-year-old or 3-year-old, the child does not know what to do. What should the child do? How should it do? No idea. The child gets very restless, agitated. If the child is not engaged properly, the child can cause any damage. It can go here and there, run around, push and pull things. It can cause damage to its own body. It can cause wounds. It can break things. It can do any harm. Harmful, very harmful. Then what do we do? In keeping with the age of the child, we try to keep the child engaged. How? You can't give pointed, sharp pencils for a child. Ask the child to draw sketch. No. Too raw-headed. You give some thick papers and the crayons. You give crayons, and even before that, you can't ask the child to hold. Child doesn't even know how to hold the crayon. What do? You give them some colorful, big toys to hold it, to attach things which make noise. A little slightly older child, and you give them crayons. Ask the child to help the child to hold the crayon. Then you ask the child to put lines, colorful lines. And you keep, give some toys, give some crayons, give some books to paint. You keep the child engaged, occupied. And the time the child gets tired, then you don't need to worry. Gets tired and feed and put to sleep. Until it wakes up, you don't need to worry about how to keep the child occupied. In the same way, when a person falls asleep, then we don't need to worry how to keep the person engaged, entertained. The person needs rest also. Every time the person wakes up from sleep, until he falls asleep, Veda Mata sees that this fellow should be kept occupied, engaged. He must be involved in something or the other. So Veda Mata prescribes duties for a grown-up child. Grown-up, immature person is a child. Okay, physically immature is mentally also immature as a child. And physically mature, but mentally immature, emotionally immature. So this person who is physically mature is more dangerous than children, because physically and emotionally immature. So the mother, now our biological mother takes care of engaging the physically immature child. Physically, but here the physically mature or grown up fellow should be taken care of. His mind should be taken care of. His emotional maturity should be taken care of. Therefore, Shruti Mata prescribes the duties. And the duties prescribed by the Shruti are said to be what now? Shastriyam karma. If a person follows the duties, if a person knows his duties, responsibilities, and how he should do them, and he follows strictly life of dharma as instructed by the shastram, he does prescribed duties. But he becomes very busy doing his duties in conformity with dharma itself, keeps himself very busy, because he becomes the person of life of panchamaha yajnas. He lives the life of panchamaha yajnas. He's so busy, and he's very conscious of dharma, and he performs them with proper attitude as an offering to Bhagavan. And he wants to please Bhagavan. He has to please Bhagavan by living a life of dharma. That is how he's aspiring for Bhagavan's grace. To be peaceful in life, to be successful in life, and relatively successful, materially successful. Also, he needs Bhagavan's grace. Therefore, person lives a life of karma yoga. As a grihastha, he lives a life of karma yoga. He does his duties. What I should do, how I should do. He learns from Shastra. Know your duties, do your duties in conformity with dharma, with the proper attitude as an offering to Bhagavan. And in spite of doing the right things, still situations won't be the same in your life. There'll be situations, desirable and undesirable. There'll be pairs of opposites. You have no choice. You have to go through them. And how, what should be the attitude towards them? How you should take them? All that Mother Shruti Mata should come, we learn from the Shastra. And then slowly we are taught, A, what you're aspiring for is moksha. What you're aspiring for is everlasting happiness and peace. That is your surupam, which you have to discover, for which you have to become mentally prepared. For that mental preparedness, you must do your duties properly now. That is how slowly, in due course of time, you will be adequately pure and steady. You will have intellectual sharpness. Thereby you will discover this viveka. You will have vairagyam. And you will be prepared enough to enter into the life of the discipline of jnana yoga. Which means you can be given the discipline of jnana yoga. This is how one has to be prepared. So shastram prescribes. Suppose if a person without ayogataha, without any mental preparation at all, simply gives up to physical activities, he cannot stop the mind from entertaining thoughts. The more the mind will be entertaining thoughts, if a person is not given to physical activities. And what will happen? A person does not do what should be done. He will helplessly, choicelessly end up doing what should not be done. Non-performance of duties prescribed by the Shastram will result in involvement in what should not be done. Because one's own being compelled and impelled by one's own thought flow, a person will be helplessly involved in what should not be done. If a person involves himself in what should be done, person does not involve himself in what should be done. So Shastriyam karma person does not do, he will end up involving himself in Ashastriyam, what is not ordained by the Shastra. A person involves himself in Ashastriyam karma, what is not ordained by Shastram, prescribed by the Shastram. Of course, his actions must be against Dharma. Will be disturbing the order. That is how a person will accumulate more papam. Because it is not possible at all for one to manage one's emotions, one's desires, one's anger. It will be impossible, 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 impossible to manage one's emotions without strictly following the way of life ordained by Shastram. Means with living a life of Dharma. They say, following the life ordained by the Shastra means strictly, consciously living one's life, doing one's duties in conformity with Dharma. It's very important. So living life of Dharma alone in due course of time will enable a person to have mastery over one's thoughts, emotions. Otherwise, there's no way of managing one's emotions. Then imagine, a person goes against Dharma, not because he wants to go against Dharma, helplessly. Helplessly, that's why nobody, it's not a crime. Nobody goes against Dharma knowingly. When a person goes against Dharma, definitely it's expression of his mental compulsion. And mental compulsion is because of the nature, because of the prakriti jaha gunaha are there. Predominance of rajas, predominance of tamas. You know, if a tattvam has become predominant, then one must live a life of karma yoga gradually to become a person of tattva predominance. Anyway, I have to explain a lot more. We'll continue in the next class. Okay? A lot more to be said. I'll continue next class. Tomorrow. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.